It's the Junior Kekuweba Junior Show, starring Junior Kekuweba Junior.
Happy New Year, baby.
Join Junior along with the Wayne Borhe Band as he makes any kind from Hawaii.
I have no idea.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, Junior Kekuweba Junior.
Happy New Year, Hawaii. Happy New Year, Hawaii. Woo! Mahalo, mahalo, mahalo. Aloha, aloha, aloha. Hey, welcome to the podcast. Yeah. Hey, Happy New Year, you guys. Wow. January 1st. It's Monday morning at 6:48 a.m. Hawaii time. Okay. I know. I'm supposed to be hungover. I'm supposed to be like, oh, bro, what a night last night, right? But no, I'm doing a podcast. That's exactly what I'm doing. Okay, so first we want to, project the attitude of gratitude, get it out there, okay? So we're heard in 42 states and 56 countries, okay? So our if we really want to, pull up the stats on everything, right, we can look at our analytics, which is pretty remarkable for what it is, because it's not, it's not Joe Rogan, okay? But we're really being searched a lot on Spotify. Spotify has actually boosted our... So what happened is Spotify actually bought the company that we started on, okay? And since that happened, we have just been pushed out there in the world in a big way. And so we just want to mahalo Spotify and basically everybody. I mean, So, our audience is predominantly male, okay? So the brothers is out there worldwide brothers we get. And then also the last few countries, the countries haven't really changed too much. Turkey, South Africa, Guam were the last three. And so our demographics, according to platforms, Apple Podcasts is down to 28.6. I remember when there was 85%, right? But no, we're actually picking up on web browsers. 28.6% now, web browsers. It's the same as Apple. It's crazy. iHeartRadio went up too. So 23.8%. XO Player, we're on so many affiliates. XO Player is 4.8%. Amazon Alexa. So Alexa's picking us up now. 4.8%. That was not there. That's a new thing. But you can get my albums and stuff off of Amazon. So you can, and actually, I just want to do a cheap plug. So my latest album came out, and I know you guys are like, what? I thought you were retired from music. Well, yeah, I'm retired from music, but we are releasing the digitized versions of our music. So it's being digitally remastered. It's a technical thing, but yeah, it's for the digital world, and it will live on in the digital world long after I'm dead. And then, of course, I have to sign the paper. I'm going to give this to so. So I think what I'll do is get married right before. Yeah, on my deathbed. All right, take them. It's something like that. I don't know. Anyway, so Podbean, 2.4%. Castbox, 2.4%. Spotify, it just goes down and on and on. So anyway, thank you so much. The demographics, we're heard in Japan. And the people in Japan, I got to thank you guys. Because people in Japan buy one of my songs more than anything else. They buy Crazy G, my interpretation of Crazy G, on the ukulele, which is I'm not a ukulele player. Okay, I'm not. I play a few songs. I play Hawaiian music on the ukulele. I follow, but I happened to do this thing in the studio, and it was a jazz version. And of course, with my best friend and music partner, Mr. Wayne Borhe, who did the orchestration. And if I got to tell you guys something, okay, and you guys can check this out. So go look for Crazy G. Just type in, because you can get it for free on YouTube. And just type it in, Crazy G, Junior Kekuweba Jr. Now you're going to hear me playing the ukulele, and you're going to hear an orchestration behind me, a big band arrangement, okay, because that's the way we did it. And if you listen to the saxophones in the intro, they're doing Woody Woodpecker's laugh,
Okay, so you'll see it. It's like that kind of thing. Okay, and we put that in there on purpose. We did that on purpose. I might as well tell you guys some of the secrets because, you know, pretty soon I'm gone. I'm out of here. But anyway, no, don't worry. I haven't been diagnosed with anything yet except ADHD. And, well, I have both forms of ADHD. So, yeah, but just that. Anyway, so on today's podcast, what are we going to talk about? Well, on today's podcast, okay, I had some questions about the culture, and on my Instagram account, right? And they're like, "Unks, we heard you talk about a lot of things on the podcast. We like what you said about the radio stories. Can you tell us more radio stories?" I'm like, "Okay," but more than that, they were asking me like, "Where do you think this is going, Uncle? Like, where do you think they call me Unks? Actually, they go, "Where do you think this is going, Unks?" So." This is a law of attraction podcast, okay? And I got to tell you that a lot of things are being manifested in the community, in the Hawaiian community here in Hawaii. And they're asking me both, you know, in contrast to like, okay, where do you think the world's going? And where do you think Hawaii is going? And where do you think, you know, what do you think, whatever. And, you know, like I always tell you guys, opinions are like okoles. Everybody has one. Okay, so for you people out of Hawaii, which is the majority of my audience, it's your hindquarters, okay? Okole specifically is not the quarter itself, it's the whole. So it's a long story. Elemu is how you say the hindquarter, okay? But for like local slang, which is what I'm going to talk about too. And then later on, we're going to talk about the law of attraction method of efforting versus non-efforting. Okay, and why it's important to know that and how it can manifest like everything. Because I've manifested everything I've done. Okay, and I'll tell you again, it's not about money. Okay, money will come to you, okay, if you invite it in. Money will come to you if you call it in. Okay, call it to you. Or let's say magnetize it to you. Or let's say money friendly. Okay, you got to do the work though. Okay, so and we're going to talk about that in a minute. But you have to be like that. And there's a secret to it. There's a way to do this. Okay. But a lot of people don't have what I want to call self-discipline. And all I'm saying when I say that is they don't do it every day. You have to make it part of your routine. You have to do this every single day. Okay. You have to do gratitude every day, all these things. Okay. But we're going to talk about that in a minute. But, one of the questions or comments I had on my Instagram was, "Hey, you know, we're losing some of our culture and we're gaining, you know, some strengths with our young people. So where is this going?" Well, here's the thing, Hawaiians. Okay. We're in the middle of a huge change. Okay. Now, without getting too deep, I can tell you it's a different age. I can tell you we're in the age of Aquarius. Okay. So we're in the age of knowledge. We're in the age of reveal. Okay, because things are going to be revealed that you guys, you know, haven't really been prepared for, I think. Some of you have. Some of you have been waiting and, you know, yeah, it's coming, you know. But anyway, we're not going to get too deep in that. But here locally in Hawaii, right? Now, one of the compliments, and this is another thing, which is probably synchronicity, but a compliment that my mom gave me last year in 2023 that I'll never forget. She goes, "You know, I'm so happy that you can pronounce the English language properly. You can speak properly. You can, you know." And of course, my mom, okay, so my mom is from here. My mom is as local as you can get, okay? But, here's your big fat but, my grandmother worked 3 jobs to send her to college. So she went to college, right, in the mainland. And when she was in college in the mainland, right, and she was educated and, you know, so don't get me started on education because I have a thing about that too. Okay. I have an opinion about that too, but we're not going to do it on this podcast. So she got educated, right? And when I was from the day I was born, I think, I don't know, she was programming me, right? with this, you know, speak English thing. I could not speak pidgin in the house. Oh, those of you who are listening, hello, what is pidgin? Pidgin is when you talk lereisa, and you know, you're talking lereat, and you're trying to describe this, that, and the other stuffs, and you go, oh, the kind, you know, that the kind over there kind stuffs lereat, right? Now, I am an expert at pidgin because that's the way we talked in elementary school, right? In high school, I want to say, in high school, it was a little different with some people. Some people tried to be more educated and tried to execute the English language more properly than others. And I noticed this predominantly with my Asian friends, who really, a lot of them, not all of them, but a lot of them could flip the switch. When they were in class, they spoke good English. When we were outside or hanging out or down at the beach or whatever, it was pidgin. So you know, I have that ability to switch it on, switch it off. So here's an interesting story. Because you guys linked this to radio too, and then we'll talk about the cultural differences. So I was asked, you know, oh, tell us more radio stories. So when I first went to this radio station that was predominantly Hawaiian, okay, and this was back in the day, it was in the 90s, 94 to be exact. And I went to this radio station because I thought, see, I was always chasing the dream. I always wanted to be the entertainer guy, the guy that I eventually became, right? But I thought that by doing radio, I could get next to the radio executives. I could, you know, and then get next to the entertainment executive because they all know each other, they, you know, that kind of thing. And then network, and then boom, right? Wrong. Okay, so, but that's what I thought, right? And I remember going to the broadcasting school when I was younger, because I was looking for a job and they wouldn't take me at the carpet cleaning company, right? So, because my uncle said, you got to do something. And I was living with my uncle. So anyway, I went and I auditioned for broadcasting school, right? And they did they did this to like everybody, right? So it wasn't just me. It wasn't a high compliment or anything like that. Well, I thought it was at the time. And they go, wow, you would be a perfect radio announcer. You'd be the perfect disc jockey. You'd be the perfect, you know, whatever. And but they did that to sell their packages, right? Because I know several people that have gone through radio, one of them very, very successfully, right? And his, you know, the way he speaks and stuff is not like the way, you know, broadcasters do. And he made it all the way up the ladder to the very top. Okay, so it's not that. Okay, they told this to everybody. Okay, so here's the thing, right? Anyway, so I did that, right? And boom, off I go into the radio thing. Now, when I get this job at the Hawaiian place, right? I go, wow. So the Hawaiian radio station was the same station that owned the award, the awards that they do in Hawaii. So if you get one of these awards, what happens is your career skyrockets because you got this award. So when you get the award, they say, well, so-and-so won the such-and-such award, right? And then I'm not going to name names because, you know, my attorney told me, bro, you got to stop doing that. So I'm like, okay. But anyway, but if you get one of these awards, everybody calls you, right? I interviewed this one Hawaiian entertainer one time, a long time ago when I was doing radio and when I had my own show. And I was talking about the political aspect of the awards, and I was also talking about the conflict of interest kind of thing. I mean, it was kind of sort of, but here's the way it worked. So the radio station started the awards, okay? These big record companies, there were two big ones, okay? These two big record companies were like in bed with the radio station, and here's how the circuit worked. So they would buy advertising from the radio station. Okay, this is the way it works. So just in case you guys want to apply this to the digital world. So they would be the customers of the radio station, right? And they would buy ads, whatever, all of that. Okay, now when the awards came out, right, the record company would get so you could join the academy, this academy that they have for the awards. So you join the academy. So let's say, for example, you were up for, and you did a recording, okay? So the record company would put money behind your recording. They would sponsor you, okay? Because they would know that they could make you, okay? And they wouldn't put money behind someone they couldn't make, okay? For whatever reason. Some reasons it's because, it's not the right kind of music. Like in my case, right? Because I didn't do Hawaiian music. And some of it would be like, well, yeah, we can't make them because they have money on their own and they can do whatever they want. And yeah, they, We cannot make them any kind. And that's another reason. And that was another reason for me as well. But I mean, there's different reasons, right? Because you have to evaluate, and it's a marketing decision. It's a marketing decision. You got to look at these guys and go, okay, can we make this guy any kind? Can we keep him going on a work contract? Can he handle that kind of, you know, whatever? Can he be told what to do? Can he, you know, all these things, and it's marketing, right? But you got to go down the checklist. You got to check. So they would put money behind an artist. They would, and that's like 30 grand. Okay. Now I don't know what it is now, but everybody's independent now, right? Unless you, I don't know, go Hollywood or, you know, I don't know what it is now. But back in the day, it was 30 grand because I worked for a record company, not one of the big ones, but I worked for a small independent label that taught me everything I needed to know about the music business. And I was like, I don't know if I want to do this, you know. But anyway, so they put money behind you. They record you. Okay. Now that company, because they buy advertising with the radio station, they will buy ads for your album and they will, quote, push you. End quote. Okay. With the radio station. Now, the more money that they spend on your music, okay, on the advertising for your music, the radio station plays you more. Okay. When the radio station plays you more, guess what happens to a human being in their subconscious mind when they hear more and more and more of the same thing? Pretty soon people start to like it. Okay. Yes, it's brainwashing. You got it. Okay. So that's how it worked, right? So they would spend money, right? And the radio station would gladly collect the money anyway. And then mysteriously at the awards, when everybody liked the music, what they do is they get your friends, okay? Your friends, family, and they get their friends. So the record company's friends, okay? The employees of the record company's individual friends and your friends and family, okay? And they all join the academy. Okay, now the academy is making money, okay? And this also belongs to the radio station, okay? And so the academy makes money. The radio station's making money. The record company's making investments, okay? Now, the dividends from an investment, you need dividends from an investment. So now when they go, okay, who's nominated for the awards? Well, the guy that they're spending, you know, a lot of money on is always nominated, okay? Coincidence? I don't know. But that's what I saw, right? So anyway, and then comes the night of the awards, and then all those guys from the big record company, they all win awards. And guess what happens now? Now you get the dividends, because now all those guys who won the awards, they all get hired. They all get hired for jobs. So now, right, they're hireable. They're desirable, okay? And now you have a product. Okay, because now it's in demand. So you create the demand and fill it. That's marketing. That's the way commerce works. This is no conspiracy or anything like that. I'm not saying that. Okay, but what I'm saying is that when you have this kind of, system, okay, you can make or break anyone. You can keep them out of the industry by not recording them. You can record them for a while if you want to sell their contract. That's another thing people don't know about. Okay, you can buy someone's contract from a record company. So let's say you had two competing record companies, okay? And let's say one of them has the guy that everybody loves, okay? And let's say that the competing record company wanted to keep that guy out of the market. All they do is buy the guy's contract from the existing record company. Now, if the guy's popular, that contract would be pretty hefty, would be pretty expensive. But if they can afford it, they buy the contract. It's a strategic move. You buy the contract and you put them on the shelf. That's what they call it. You put them on the shelf. You don't do anything with them. Do the guy still get paid? Yeah, he still gets paid. He still gets paid whatever the contract, you know, the original contract. But now he's owned by somebody else, in other words. Okay, so that is a thing, okay? I don't know how much of that happened in Hawaii because the companies weren't that big, but that's how it worked nationally in the old days. Okay, so anyway, now you have this system, okay? And I was watching this thing and I thought, wow, I want to get to know the guys in the, you know, in the record company so I can go do this stuff, right? There was a lot of stuff I was unaware of. But I saw this system work and I go, wow, this is pretty ingenious. So on one side, you have the award company, okay, who is owned by the company that is brainwashing people into, right? I mean, that's what it is. Okay, it is what it is. And then, and they make money from the record company purchasing, right? And then once they're made, so their job is to make you, okay? The radio station's job is to make you on the other end, right? So, and then once that's done, once that's completed, the revenue goes back to the record company, right? Now they're getting paid back for their investment. And all you have to do is set up this system. And it runs itself, basically. I mean, it doesn't, you know, doesn't really run itself, but you need to set it up. And then once you set it up, it doesn't take that much maintenance. Then it's just the same thing every year. Same thing every year. The only thing that's changing are the musicians or entertainers or, you know, those people that are making the music. Okay, so those people, and they come and go. And, you know, what I saw, right, was like different groups, different year, different groups. And so they would run one group for a while. And when people were getting tired, and you can tell through sales, okay, when it started, sales are starting to drop, they come up with the brand new thing. Oh, these guys are the, oh man, it's these guys. These guys are the one. Oh, they have a new sound, you know. The problem with those guys or the new guys or whatever, with the exception of just a handful of people that were actually doing new stuff or the old things in a new way. And these were the people that started changing the industry, right? And I saw it. It was changing in the 90s drastically. And I saw the people, you know, I met the old celebrities that you know, weren't famous anymore. Well, they were famous, but they weren't actively recording anymore, right? And they would come in. So I saw the bridge. I saw the bridging of the gap between the older ones and the younger ones. And the older ones were doing things here and there and whatever, but they weren't actively recording and you know, they didn't have number one hits, okay? They did back in the day. And then I saw these new guys that they were being made, and I saw how they were being made. Now, I also saw the casualties, okay? And the casualties were the work contracts. Because on the work contracts, it would just wear you down. And what happens after that? Well, and it's like, here, try this to keep you going, right? And then pretty soon it's like, oh, I gotta have more of that because it keeps me going. And pretty soon it's rehab. I mean, I'm just telling you guys the real stuff of what I saw. Okay, now let's you know, address the cultural aspect of this. The cultural aspect of it is that we are gaining new strengths with our young people, okay? And we always have been, okay? It's still going on. There's still some innovative groups. There's one Hawaiian group right now that's really, really innovative. There's some reggae groups that have crossed over, you know, pop into combining pop and reggae and stuff like that that I've seen that are remarkable. It's just amazing, okay? But, you know, these are independent artists, independent. And I noticed that once everything went independent, certain things changed. A lot of things changed. But it's not that same old system anymore. Now the system has broken apart, okay? And now it's like virtually every man for himself. And who has the best marketing and who has the best connections and who does the best networking and, you know, who kisses the ring better than the other one or whatever. But I'm just saying, right? But there's still at the radio station level, there's still that aspect. You got to get them to play the songs. And that's a whole, you know, thing that I'm not even going to touch that. I'm not even going to speak on that. But we're always changing. Okay. So our culture, the thing about, the comment, one of the comments I got, it was in the same comment. It was the same, basically it was kind of like a letter, but it was a message. And, so one of the things was like, whoa, unks, why you not talk more pidgin? Why you not do the kind, you know, some more like that. Like we notice you talk, you know, pretty much in English. And I'm like, yeah, well, you see, the majority of my audience understands English and they want to hear English, and they're not really savvy with our local pidgin. And our local pidgin is disappearing. Okay, so in addition to the local music changing and the Hawaiian music changing, okay, and yes, we are becoming more westernized here, okay, in Hawaii. And that has, and this has come to light as a result of the Lahaina fire. Okay, so I'm gonna try and connect some dots here with you guys, right? Hawaii has always been for sale, always. America has always been for sale, okay? The danger that I see is that, you know, we're creating new laws that I want to say empowers the buyers to a whole hell of a lot, okay? In America, in the upper 48, as they say, and in the Kingdom of Hawaii, which is what this really is, you know, given the occupation. But what I will say is that the as far as the pigeon and stuff, you know, I have many clients. I have younger people as clients, and older people for my life coaching, right? Adults in my life coaching. Very seldom do I life coach a minor, because there's a gray area of liability there that I don't want to assume. And I'm not talking, because everything is done online, everything is legit, everything is up and up kind of thing. It's just that, yeah, there are certain things that you don't want to be responsible for telling a child, whether it's, you know, whatever your opinion is on anything. And it's very difficult because you have to clear things with parents. Otherwise, there's a legal thing there, that liability, degree of liability. So let's just leave that there. But with my adult clients, right, I have younger clients for other things, and I noticed that these kids do not speak pidgin. Like, pidgin is vanishing. There's a very westernized form of pidgin on the island of Oahu. Okay, so on the island of Oahu, where I live, right? I'm not from this island, okay? So, but I'm from another island, and the island that I am from, like, pidgin is like, yeah, still going, right? And it's still going pretty strong. But it still changed from when I was a kid. When I go back home, I listen to the, you know, I listen to the adults, the people my age, my friends that, you know, come over to the house, say, hey, come over. Most of them are just speaking good English, you know. And the ones that I hear, like when I go to the store, right? And I hear reflections. I hear a little bit of the old days, but it's changed a bit. It's become more westernized. So we're losing some of our culture, okay, and some of our, I want to say, plantation era culture. So when I teach my young people or when I teach anyone that is from Hawaii online, right, I speak pidgin. I don't care because I want to enjoy it while I can, because pretty soon I'm not going to be here, right? I mean, I'm on my last, I don't know how many years, but whatever, right? Okay, so I'm older than 50, so, you know, I'm like, okay, we're on that last mile, unks, you know, but I'm going to have fun with it and enjoy it while I can, okay? And so I do it. Right, especially if I know that, you know, it's a local person or they understand pidgin or whatever, they speak a little bit of it, whatever, I'm gonna jam, okay? Because that's who I am, that's where I'm from, okay? I'm from that era where it was spoken very heavily. In fact, I remember this one guy from my childhood that spoke pidgin so well. Like, so hardcore. I want to say hardcore. Hardcore pidgin that it sounded like a foreign language. And we would be sitting. See, we used to hit on tourist girls. We used to go to the beach and date tourist girls. And I used to bring my guitar, right? I used to sing for the girls. And I used to, that kind of thing, right? And this guy, he was younger than me. He was very much younger than me. I think when I was 14, he was like maybe, I think he was 12 or 11 or 12, something like that. He was a couple years younger than me, 2 or 3 years younger than me. And we could hardly understand, like, I knew what he was saying, right? All the local guys, there was three of us that used to hang together. And this guy, right, he used to speak so hardcore pidgin, the girls would always ask me, like, what did he say? What did he say? He said, we go down by the river. And what did he say? Because he would rattle it off really fast. We go down by the river. you know, like that, right? What did he say? I said, oh, he said, we go down by the river. And I mean, it was hilarious. It was hilarious, bro. So this is a kind of culture that we are losing. And a lot of us that, you know, I had a classmate that listens to the podcast, actually. So Frankie, if you're listening, aloha, bro. Love you, man. Happy New Year. And so when he comes over, he talks pidgin. I talk pidgin. And, you know, I really enjoy that level of communication because that's who we are. That's who we, you know, started out in life as, right? Okay. It was just that in my case, my mother was like, leave your pidgin at the doorstep when you come in the house. When you come in the house, do not. And every time I spoke pidgin, she corrected me, like every single time. And I got to the point where, okay, I could just do English in the house. And then when I go with my friends, oh, I can relax, right? You know, no pressure. So that happened. And I see a lot of our culture, a lot of our cultural things are changing. And I want to say that in Hawaii, we're experiencing like cultural possession, I want to say. I'm seeing outsiders come in, okay, and take possession of our culture. And they're not all Anglo-Saxon. They're not all white people, okay? Some of them are different varieties of Polynesians. Some of them are different, I want to say, cultural relatives of the Hawaiian people, of the people that were here originally, or let's say migrated here from, you know, that there's a whole story behind that. But yeah, Hawaiians were immigrants, basically, but they came from Polynesia. And then now we see, you know, a lot of people, you know, I want to say taking possession of certain cultural things in Hawaii. So that's, you know, and the old folks see that and they go, oh, wow, it's getting worse and worse. Okay, so the world is not getting worse and worse. Okay, now here's your life coaching part. We are gaining new strengths with our young people. Okay, now you're talking about young people. Okay, that have been raised on tablets. You're talking about young Hawaiians who had tablets in their hands when they were itty-bitty kids, like young kids, like 5 years old. Okay, and they explore with tablets. Okay, and of course, online you get good and bad, right? But they have knowledge. And these are the kids right now that are in their 30s that I'm helping, that I help a lot, that I really want to invest a lot of time and help in, that I want to pass things down. Because in my mind, there's two kinds of people. There's one kind of person that gets ahead in life and then he kicks the ladder out from under him. And then the second kind of person who goes, hey, I got to this level, bro, I can bring you up too. Here, come here. Take my hand. I'm going to pull you up. And that's the second kind of person that shares, that empowers, that does that kind of thing. And, you know, it's always been, I had such a rough time. I mean, I can't even tell you, Hawaiians, it's discrimination. I've experienced discrimination in so many ways. I've experienced professional jealousy in so many ways, like directly, indirectly, you know, stuff I couldn't even understand, you know, because sometimes you get professional jealousy from people who are so far higher than you, or, you know, I'm just saying figuratively on the success ladder, right? And sometimes you go, wow, like that person for no reason just did this, right? And they do that, okay? But you got to remember that inside all that success, there's still people, okay? And people do that, okay? So, but take it as a compliment when you get dissed by somebody who's way ahead of you on the success ladder. Yeah, you're going to have a WTF moment because you think, wow, why would they be, you know, like that, right? Because they're already ahead. They should want to help, right? That's what you would think. So this is the reason I help so much. And I help so much because when I came up, you know, and you got to be the change in the world that you want to see, okay? Just for yourself, you have to do that. And so that has been my mantra, you know, be the change that you want to see in the world. And I want to say that happened since, maybe about the year 2000, I think, when I opened my school. I think I opened my school in, I think we opened the, Well, we opened the school formerly back in 89, but that was a living room situation. The commercial unit didn't come till 99, so maybe around 99. But that was my mantra. That was my thing, like, okay, we're going to start helping and we're going to start changing the world one person at a time kind of thing, you know. And that was my mission, and that's what we still do. That's what I still do. But that was the reason that I helped. And that's the reason, because I was like, when I was there, right, and I was looking for help, there was a small handful of people to help me. And most of those guys were like, I want to say, 3 or 4 steps ahead of me. But I saw people that were a mile ahead of me, like way up in the stratosphere. Those guys acting like kids, acting like little jealous kids in the playground. And I was like, what? But there was these people that helped me. I can think of several people, 3 different TV shows that helped me. And these guys that own the TV shows, like locally here in Hawaii, they were so good to me. And they just put me on their show, you know. And all I had to do was ask, hey, can you guys use me for an episode or whatever? And they were like, oh, yeah. And they would figure it out. Okay, yeah, you can do this. You can play the ukulele. You can talk about this. You can come in as a character. You can do this, that, and the other thing. And it really afforded me some great opportunities. And the same thing with radio. I met a small handful of guys that said, yeah, come on the show. Yeah, come on, you know. But you know what has to happen first, Hawaiians? You have to make that first move first. You have to find that first thing that works. So how do you find the first thing that works? Okay, so still life coaching, okay? The how is God's job. Okay, so you got to stay close to whatever you think your higher self is, higher power, God, whatever you think that is, Jesus Christ, Allah, whatever you think that is. You have to stay close to that. Be faithful to that. Because God is in here. God is inside. The kingdom is within. Okay, so whenever you stay close to that, you're going to stay close to what belongs to you. And when I say what belongs to you, I'm talking about your life path. Okay, now when your life path, when your life path begins, you know, becoming real, right? Like it realized, like you're there doing it, you know, and now you go, oh, this is it. Oh, that's what I should be doing, right? Because it's going to come easy. Things are going to flow. Money's just going to come to you. Okay, now, are you going to have like millions and millions of dollars in a bank? Well, it depends. You know, but here's what I can tell you. I can tell you from experience. You know, back in 2010, and this is not a flex. This is telling you, like, you can do it too, okay? But back in 2010, I hit the $1 million mark in music. And I'll never forget, it was a very, very quiet celebration. I wanted to broadcast it. I wanted to tell everybody, hey, you know what? But it was a very, very quiet celebration. And it was between me, my music partner, and our business partner, like the 3 of us. And I was like, wow, guys, we hit $1 million. And the reason why it was significant, right, was because when I was 12 years old and I was making these grandiose plans, and I was like, yeah, we're going to do this, we're going to do that. Yeah, I'm going to do music. I'm going to do a show. I'm going to have a show in Waikiki, right? And, first of all, you get your friends who are like, you know, interested in baseball and cars and, you know, whatever. And here I was like, oh, I want to do shows. I'm going to be like Dean Martin. I'll be like Frank Sinatra, Don Ho, Sam Kapoor, those guys. I'm going to be like that. For you people outside Hawaii, Don Ho and Sam Kapoor are local celebrities. And Don Ho was the biggest before Israel. Kamaka Viva Ole, who is now the biggest, I would think. And Bruno Mars, certainly. Bruno Mars. I think they're both equally as famous. But here's the thing, right? So when that happened, when I was 12, right, and I was doing all these, you know, I was projecting my dreams, I was speaking them out loud, right? And I told my mom, I said, Mom, I, you know, I'm going to be an entertainer. That's what I'm going to do. And my mom said, quote, you will never make any money playing music, end quote. And until today, I remember that. And you know, sometimes, right? Because I met this guy on radio, the guy I used to substitute for. And he told me his high school counselor said he would never amount to anything. And all of a sudden, this guy is like way above me in the stratosphere of popularity, right? He's like miles above me, extremely popular, right? And he said that, and I'm thinking like, well, maybe that's what it took. You know, and I'm thinking maybe subconsciously for me, that's what it took. Maybe my mom had to tell me I wouldn't make any money in it, so I would push forward and try to make money in it and eventually make money in it. I don't know. I think that has a lot to do with it. Because I think inside, right, the resentment that carries, you know, because it's resentment, right? You feel like resentful. You got, oh, I resent that comment, right? And then you go out to prove them wrong. So many people that have been told that they're going to be losers have excelled in all of their activities, in their occupations, whatever it is. It doesn't matter. Okay, somebody could have been told that they'll never be a good lawyer, and they have multi-million dollar law firm today. I don't know, but I'm just saying it probably has something to do with it. But we are, gaining strengths with our young people that are making gains, and these guys have the knowledge. They have been raised on tablets. They need opportunity. That's all they need. They need the opportunity to put these things in motion. Their only obstacle is the old guard. Okay, because the big money, the huge money is all guarded by old people. Okay, and the political system is all locked down by old people. And but slowly here in Hawaii, I see the younger people breaking through barriers. I see them breakthrough. And what I do is, you know, in a very small way, because, you know, I'm not out there in control of anything. I mean, I control my companies, and that's about it. I don't want to be involved with all that kind of stuff, because a lot of it gets dirty. It gets real dirty, real fast. Okay, and when you look at Hawaii as a kind way to say it, but Hawaii is one of the most corrupt states you'll ever see. And the reason why I say that, okay, is because people are related. Okay, it's a small place, and it's like a small town. Everybody knows everybody. The sheriff is also the medical examiner, and he's also the chairman of the city council. I mean, that kind of thing, right? I'm not saying that that's the way it is in Hawaii, although we do have a sheriff that is a police chief that is a coroner in one of our counties. But I'm just saying it's because it's a small place. Everybody knows everybody, and if you want to get in, if you want to whatever, you got to play ball with the guys that were there first. And it just keeps going like that. And now we see blatant things going on, right? The public is like, whoa, these politicians did what? Right? You know, they see it. They don't hide it anymore. It used to be in the back rooms. It used to be in the, you know, and I've been in the back rooms when they're doing it. I've been in back rooms. And I've just sat there, and I'm like, you know, I was fly on the wall. I was like, And I was no threat to anybody. So they let me hang out. And they were friends. And you know, so we saw these things, right, in the back, the way it works in the background. But now, like, nobody hides it anymore. It's just like, well, this is the way we're going to do it. If you guys don't like it, you know, whatever. And like, whoa, this is tyranny, right? You know, the old people are going, whoa, this is tyranny. The young people don't care. A lot of them don't care. A lot of the younger people don't. They just go about what they're doing. You know, they work online, or they're in a different world, and they just keep doing what they're doing. But then there's these groups of young people that are pushing through, and they are going to change the world. They are going to change Hawaii. They are going to change the way things are being done. Change is a slow process. Humans are very uncomfortable with change, but once change begins to happen, and once something starts to succeed, everybody jumps on board. Okay, that's how it happened for me in a very small way in whatever I was doing. It's the way it happens with everybody. But it starts small, right? And then you see somebody leading, okay? So this is more of the life coaching part. Be the leader. When you see somebody leading, okay? And when I say lead, I mean forward momentum. You have to just keep walking, keep moving, keep doing, keep going, okay? And this is the efforting and non-efforting law of attraction method, okay? Now, I'm going to spell it out for you real quick, okay? Real fast and real quick, because we have a limited amount of time. Now, with the law of attraction method, I recommend baby steps in efforting, okay? Baby steps, because if you put too much effort in the wrong direction, okay, and you find out it's the wrong direction, now you've wasted time, okay? Because it takes time, right? Effort. You got to put effort, put effort, put effort. Oh, this is the wrong thing. Oh, man, I got to go back all those steps, you see? Like that. So what I do, right, is Dr. Amit Goswami told me, and I saw him at a conference here at the Japanese Cultural Center in Hawaii. He is one of the four, look him up, Dr. Amit Goswami, G-O-S-W-A-M-I. He is one of the foremost leaders in quantum physics. And according to him, he says, no, you Westerners have it all wrong. It's do-be-do-be-do. That's the formula. And I'm like, what? And he goes, no, first you do, then you be. Okay, relax, meditate, pray, be, exist, okay, take a break, okay, then you do, then you be, then you do, then you be, okay. Now, that's my method. That's my method that has brought me everything. It's brought me everything, okay. Now, there's non-efforting. There's law of attraction non-efforting. What does that require? It requires 16 seconds of focusing on a particular object and then letting it go. So the object could be a relationship. It could be, I don't recommend specific people because, you know, you need to have their consent. You can't possess somebody, in other words, okay? But 16 seconds, you focus on what you want, okay? And then let it go and then trust. And then kick back and do what you want. Okay, both of these methods work, and there's more examples of non-efforting, and there's more examples of baby steps. But the balance, okay, that do-be-do-be-do balance really, really works well, okay? And I've also tried non-efforting, and non-efforting for me, just as a person, for me, takes a little longer, okay? But I can make it happen very quickly with the do-be-do-be-do method. Right. And I know it sounds silly, right? But this was coming from a physicist, right? And I was like, well, he must know something I don't. And I tried it and boom, like, you know, and I met him in 2010. I met him in 2010. And since then, it was the same year that I started Here For You Life Coaching as a company. And I got to tell you, Hollings, it works. It's like boom, 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 level up, level up, level up, level up. And sometimes some things take longer than others. So you have to be patient. You have to be patient. But that method of doing and then, hey, let go, and then do and then let go. The let go part is hard because in your mind, you're thinking, oh, I got to push forward. And yes, that sometimes works. But here's what happens when you push, 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 push. And I'm saying this out of experience, okay? When you push, 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 do you get what you want? Yeah, eventually you get what you want, but guess what? Sometimes it disappears. And the reason it disappears is because it was gotten in the wrong way. Yes, you can push forward and make a lot of money. Yes, you can ruin your health in the process. Then what do you got to do? I see so many guys like this, right? Push, 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 push. And pretty soon, you know, they have to pay someone to restore their health. Okay, go doctor, do whatever, whatever. And they're worth all this money. Okay, but here's the secret I'm going to tell you, okay? Yes, the law of attraction is not meant to fill up your bank account. That's not the idea. The law of attraction is here so that you get things easily, plentifully, and quickly when you need it or when its proper time is, okay? Because when you do this, when you write it and you think it and you speak it, okay, and so vocalization, visualization, again, right, and you know, You have to do your affirmations and meditation. But when you do these four things, okay, and you do it together in concert with each other, in other words, they're all on the same topic, focused on the same thing at the same time, manifestation happens quickly. And pretty soon with self-awareness, when you can see the synchronicities, right? You can see the synchronicities and you go, wow, yeah, this worked because of that. This worked because of that. This happened because that happened. And you can start to see these things. And you can start to see how everything is connected. And not everybody can see how things are connected, right? Because here's an example. You do something really crappy in the morning, and in the afternoon, you get a canceled client or a canceled contract or a canceled whatever it is, okay? You don't put it together. You don't put it together because it's in the afternoon. It's hours and hours and hours after you did something crappy, and it comes back and hits you. Or here's another example. You give money to, let's say, a street person, or let's say you give money to, somebody, a friend, or you do something good for somebody. It doesn't have to be money, anything. You do something really good for somebody in the morning. In the afternoon, something really, really good happens to you, or maybe an hour later sometime. It doesn't matter. Sometimes it's a few minutes later. Sometimes it's an hour later. It just depends. But when that goodness comes, you don't put it together. You don't think that, oh, it's because I did something good that I got something good. Oh, it's because I got something bad because I did something bad. You don't look at it that way. You don't think about it that way. But here's what you do. You need to remove yourself from the box. You need to pull yourself out of the box and then look from outside looking in. Okay, Johnny Mathis, one of the, for my older listeners, because I know we have a few, Johnny Mathis wrote a song about it, and it said, I'm on the outside looking in. And that's what you have to do. You have to remove yourself. Okay, remove yourself. Okay, put your mind on the outside as awareness and look back in on your life. Human beings are the only ones that can do that. Animals cannot. They have that one experience that looks forward, and that's it. We can observe ourselves. That's where you get the critic from. That's where you start self-analyzing yourself. That's where you get the complexes from. Because somebody says something, you know, like, oh, you're so stupid, you know? And then you go, and you start thinking about it, right? And you go, I wonder if that's true. And then the next time you do something stupid, guess what? Because we all do. We all do stupid things. The next time you do something stupid, it registers, and then you get recall, and then your subconscious goes, yeah, you see, you are stupid. And then you think about that, right? And guess where that leads? Okay, this is a progressive chain that keeps going. And pretty soon you thoroughly believe that you're stupid, or let's say not as smart or whatever, less than, all of the above, like that, right? So you have to be careful, all right? So this is all the life coaching part, okay? So write this down, write this stuff down, because that's how it works. You have to understand that the majority of what you think on any given topic, and your brain is very sophisticated, You can have thoughts on so many things, but the most repetitive thoughts from your conscious mind imprint your subconscious, and it cannot do it if you say stop. If you have a random thought, okay, and you don't want it in your subconscious, like you don't want to keep thinking about it, you don't want to, you know, develop a program from it kind of thing, okay, and I'm trying to talk in the simplest language possible. If that's what you want to do, just say stop. Or just say no, or just switch your thinking to something positive. That's the cure. Okay, it's that simple. You know, you get a crazy idea like, well, I should go up and punch him in the face, and then you have that, and then you have to step in. You go, no, that's crazy, and think of something positive. Oh yeah, you know, my niece was born 2 months ago, and she's so beautiful. And switch to something positive like that, something like that. Okay, because, I learned this stuff a long, long time ago, right? And I started to see the mind games that were going on, when I worked at certain places, certain companies. And these were radio station companies, right? But the mind games were so thick. I mean, you could cut it with a knife. It was that thick. Okay, and I'm talking about, you know, like what I said earlier about discrimination, about mind games, about, you know, because those are tactical things. Those are tactics. Okay, and tactics are employed to keep people under control. And in a corporation, okay, any corporation, I don't care which corporation, there's a certain degree of control because they want you to be a certain way. Now, if you can live like that, then go for it. If you're strong enough. Mm-hmm. You know, you always hear people go, I didn't want to be the manager because, you know, if I could be the manager, there's all this responsibility. Well, guess what? Part of that responsibility is putting up with the mental part of it, okay? The mind game part of it, okay? The psychological part of it, okay? And trust me, Hawaiians, because I teach CEOs, okay? I work with CEOs. I work with department heads. I work with managers in my life coaching business. And the one thing that keeps coming up, you know, is how do I deal with blank? How do I do blank? How do I, you know, because they don't teach this in school. You know, well, they teach it in certain areas, right? But if you're going for an MBA, chances are you're not really studying a lot of psychology. You're not really, you know, you're not really studying these other things that you need to put it all together. And this is why people hire life coaches. This is why people hire life coaches so that they can get there quickly. You know, what's the fast track? Oh, just do this, 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 and that. Right? First of all, ascertain the problem. What's the problem? Okay, so first of all is acceptance. Okay, accept that I do not know this. Accept that I don't know how to do this. Accept that, yeah, I have a problem. Okay, now when you get to that stage, okay, it's accepted. Right? Now you can do something about it. Okay, and chances are when you go to a life coach, me or anybody else, well, my life coaching is very different. Because I am very different. So yeah, sometimes it's like, whoa, I never thought of that. I get that comment the most. You know, people tell me, wow, I've never thought of it that way. And I'm like, yeah, there you go. Out of the box thinking. Okay. But me or any other life coach, right? What they will do is give you the fast track, the fast solution, the fastest solution possible. Cause we can see it. We can remove ourselves and look into a situation and go, okay, I know what needs to be done. In my case, yeah, I definitely know what needs to be done. You need to write it, think it, speak it, and meditate on it. And meditate from it, okay? In other words, when you meditate, right, just take that break from it. Get away from it. Leave it alone. And things get better. And things get better quickly. I've worked with people with trauma. And, you know, I'm not making medical claims, but I've healed them from trauma. Trauma doesn't happen anymore. It's so minute. It's so mild. Trauma is an emotional event that sticks out so much. It's traumatic. That's what trauma is. It's an emotional event. So something that triggered you emotionally so hard, right? And, you know, it could be the death of a parent. It could be the death of a child. It could be the death of somebody. Or it could be a breakup. A breakup is traumatic. It could be the fights that you had during the breakup. It could be all of that, right? But how you get rid of it? Yep. The four steps, okay, or the four pillars. So that's affirmations, meditation, visualization, and vocalization. It will cure anything, okay? And trust me, always, I had to cure myself from a lot of crap. Sorry, always, I gotta go. Hey, we want to thank Island Club and Spa, Brother Randy and Company down there in Kakaako. Hey, mahalo, Brother Randy. Yes, sir. Also, the Voice Master family of service companies and the music of Darren Chinen at AFMHawaiiMusic.com. Yeah. Until next time, this is Junior Kekoeva, Junior Scene. Happy New Year. It's January 1st, Hawaiians. Get out there and grab yourself a brand new year. All right. Oh, yeah. I'm supposed to do the can, eh? Okay, sorry. Okay, he didn't give me the finger. No, the index finger. He was going like this. Wrap him up. Okay. Mahalo and aloha.